Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Well, Mike Brennan, anyway. Matt, you know, he has the other job that interferes sometimes with him coming to the show, and that's the case today. So, just me. Well, actually, just me and lots of guests coming in, including Kathleen Norton Schock, who is going to be interviewing Rebecca Bray one more time because she interviewed her for Diva Tech Talk about a month ago. And then we also have Tom Stewart from the MSU Conqueror Accelerator Program, Justin Coffey from Red Level Networks, and Cale Richards from SBAM, who's going to be talking about an energy management program. But first, Kathleen Norton Schock is up to bat. Take it away, Kathleen.
Thank you, Mike. Always good to talk to you and always good to talk to your audience. We're going to start off. This is the Women in Tech segment. So, of course, being me, we always start with some information about some of my favorite organizations. Number one among them, of course, the Michigan Council of Women in Technology, which does phenomenal work on behalf of women and girls. We're celebrating our 15th year this year. We've raised over $1 million in scholarships for undergraduates and graduate students. Summer is underway, so our seven tech summer camps for girls from ages from the fifth through eighth grades are also beginning right away. We just finished a very, very successful Executive Connection Summit, highlighted by the very first public appearance of Ford's new CEO, Jim Hackett. But probably the most exciting thing that I need to talk about right now, considering that we're in June, is that our second largest fundraiser of the year, which helps us raise money for those scholarships and the girls and our after-school programs and our robotics grants, et cetera, the MCW Classic Golf Challenge, which is the best golf outing of the summer here in Michigan, is coming up very quickly on July 24th at the Indian Wood Golf Course in Lake Orion. If anybody would like to register to attend, please go to www.mcwt.org. This year, every year we do something new. This year, the run of the agenda includes such wonderful things as we begin with a Bloody Mary bar for those people who do day drinking, but also for those of us who are more healthy. We also will have a smoothies bar the entire day. We do a shotgun. Registration is at 8 a.m. Shotgun start at 10 a.m. For those of us who are not great golfers, don't worry about it. You can come. We have a bunch of competitions for mulligans, skins, the whole thing. At the end of the day, at around 4 o'clock, there'll be lunch at the turn, and at around 4 o'clock, we'll be doing something new this year, a helicopter golf ball drop, which I'm not going to describe in its full details, but that's going to be super fun, and that coincides at the beginning of the cocktail hour. And if you don't golf and you just want to register to come to dinner, you can do that too at www.mcwt.org. We currently have 21 sponsors, including a new signature sponsor, NASCO, NASCO, and I always think I know all of the IT vendors because I've been in the field for 38 years, but NASCO was a new one on me, and to my surprise, this is a 30-year-old company. They are our signature sponsor this year. They do healthcare IT, and they're very well known by most other people except for me. But we do have 21 sponsors right now that sound almost like a who's who in the IT field, including Oracle, who have faithfully sponsored for 5 years. Two new sponsors, Credit Acceptance Corporation and Nutanx, N-U-T-A-N-X, also an IT vendor. And then our friends at Red Level Networks, good friends of this show. And I believe you may have Justin Coffey is from Red Level Networks. And they're doing two sponsorships this year, but we have 21 sponsors. One of the highlights also of this event, and I love to remind our audience of this, is that we do sort of I think of it as a slave auction. I'm only kidding when I say that. We auction off CIOs to golf with people, which is our other way of raising money besides your coming and besides our sponsorship. And this year we currently have 11 CIOs who have volunteered to be part of our auction. They include Fred Colleen and Bill Houghton from GM, Paul Peabody from Bronson Health, Chad Doyle and Paulette Osga from Chad Doyle and Paulette Osga from Fiat Chrysler, our old friend Mark Cybulski from ZF, Bill Fandrick from Blue Cross Blue Shield, and Matt Peterson from Delphi. And finally, certainly last but not least, Norma Tirado from Lakeland Health. So please keep your eyes open for that. Again, you can register at www.mcwt.org. And we will begin the auction details, because I'm handling marketing for this, begins on July 12th and ends July 18th. Again, you can get, the minute we open the auction, you can go to our website and the auction will be active there. And we do encourage anybody who wants to meet one of these great CIOs and golf with them to come to the event and to register for our auction. And that leads me to my next piece of information. Diva Tech Talk is going really strong this summer. We are at episode number 48, and all of our episodes, which focus on girls and women in tech, in other words, women leaders, are podcast by Diva Tech Talk to inspire other girls and women in tech, can be found at www.divatechtalk.com. Our episode number 46 featured the chief sales officer from Epitech, and I feel really honored that she has chosen again to be with us today. Hi, Rebecca Bray. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Kathleen?
I'm good. I'm really good. So we're going to segue right into chatting with you. Tell us a little bit, before I met you, and I guess I met you about 8 years ago, so I know about Epitech for a little while now, but tell the rest of our audience, tell us, what does Epitech do?
Sure. Epitech's a national staffing firm, and we specialize in placing talent specifically within IT, engineering, and professional services. We work with our customers to augment their full-time staff on contract to hire, as well as direct placement business. And we also work with companies everywhere from startup companies all the way to many Fortune 100 companies. We were actually founded by Jerry Shepard, here, local Detroit native, and we'll be celebrating our 40th anniversary in business this upcoming March. So we're really excited that, we've been a minority company out of Detroit in business for 40 years, and we're headquartered here in Southfield, Michigan, with branches in Texas, Illinois, and consultants placed in over 25 states across the U.S.
And if I remember correctly from the Diva Tech Talk interview you and I did, and again, anybody who'd like to listen to Rebecca's personal story can go to divatechtalk.com and go to our episode 46. But if I remember, you've been with the company a really long time, right after college, 18 or 19 years now. Is that the case?
That is the case. 19 years this year. So next year when the company turns 40, I'll have been with the company 20 years.
Exciting. Well, I hope I get invited to that party. You know, I love a good party.
And I think not only invited, but I think we may have to hire you for our marketing.
For the party. I'm good at event marketing. Anyway, as we both know, and we've talked about off this podcast and on it, and now we're about to talk about it on it. The United States is facing an imminent tech labor crisis. I read a lot about this field because I've been in the field a long time, and in my role at Arden Cause, a very tiny, compared to you, a tiny company, but we do software, right? We've had a real struggle hiring the appropriate tech talent, and we're a tiny company. You know, I think to myself, you know, no wonder GM, Ford, Delphi, Salesforce, you know, everybody is doing creative things, because every time I turn around, I'm reading some expert that is speculating that as many as 1.5 million tech jobs could go unfilled by the year 2020. So as an expert in this field with almost 20 years now in terms of staffing, do you have any creative suggestions for addressing the challenge?
Well, I don't know how creative they are, and I don't know that we'll be able to, as a community, catch up by in the next 3 years to that 1.5 million gap. However, Epitech believes there's not really one silver bullet in addressing this concern, but several ideas and strategies that we feel are key in addressing the issue, and some of them, again, that little longer lens on developing more tech talent. But we as a community need to get into the schools and engaged earlier to expose the younger generation on what careers are available in tech now and in the future. And then have the collaboration also with the businesses to work in conjunction with the schools for better curriculum around developing kids for the known and really even unknown tech jobs of the future. I think we've done a good job around internships at the college level, but we need more companies engaged at the younger ages with exposure to what is available, and we need to get the kids excited about the opportunities. They're excited about the technology just naturally. I know as, you know, young as the toddlers are just growing up in that technology age and they're touching it, but do they really get exposed and acclimated to what that means from a career perspective and what opportunities are out there? And then I know some of the things at Epitech that we've done, even within our own IT department, today, most of our output is actually done through the use of interns and co-ops. So we feel we're contributing a small piece to this challenge and really growing and developing more tech talent. And what we've done is we've actually simplified our architecture and then developed a training curriculum around the new workforce. So these young people want to see that they can make an impact and contribute quickly. There's no such thing anymore as a 6 month to a year learning curve when you start a new job. You know, employers need to structure the work to have all levels of the team producing. And when the people feel like they're part of the larger picture, they're engaged. And I think that's not how we only get people into more tech jobs, but how we keep them in tech jobs.
I need to leap in and tell you we got a little under 2 minutes left.
Okay. So having said that, then Department of Labor Statistics, Rebecca, as we've discussed, says that there's 5 or 6 jobs: SaaS specialist, data warehousing, search engine marketing, data modeling, and data scientists and software development experts are among the 5 most high demand jobs. What other jobs and skills would you add to that list that you would encourage younger people to take a look at? Is there anything else beyond those top 5 that I've mentioned? Rebecca?
Kathleen?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. So somehow you went into mute. Are there any other jobs and skills beyond the top 5 that I just mentioned that you think people should concentrate on in terms of either degree programs or what they begin to learn on the outside?
Yep. The other areas where we're seeing a huge pickup in is DevOps is one of the hottest areas we're seeing, security, and then also the need for product owners. And having those people understand how the consumers are engaging the products and services that the companies are now providing.
Okay. Well, you're headquartered in Michigan, even though you're nationwide. So just give us some last words of wisdom for the staffing and services landscape in Michigan. How do you feel about it? What do you think about it? How's it going to progress over the next 5 years?
Well, I believe the landscape in Michigan and really all of staffing and service companies over the next 5 years is going to continue to grow. Staffing industry analysts have published the numbers around the growth in the gig economy, and it's staggering, $800 billion spent in 2016. So, and they're not predicting any type of slowdown with the workforce changing, the millennials not having the desire to be in one spot for many years, the option of using staffing services company to augment projects at the right time with the right resource is very appealing to both companies and the employees.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to cut you ladies off. We're out of time for this segment. Rebecca Bray, Kathleen Norton-Schock. You've been listening to M Squared TechCast on the Podcast Detroit Network. it's Mike. Hang on.
Kind of hear you, but not really.
All right, we're live at this point. Can you hear me? Hello? Well, Foster, clearly you're going to have to edit this part out. Here we seem to have lost the guest. Hopefully you'll come back.
Yep, and here we go back to music.
Okay, this is Mike Brennan, always a challenging live radio show. We have with us, I hope, Tom Stewart, who's with the Conqueror Accelerator Program. He's the manager at Michigan State University. Are you there, Tom?
I'm not. You guys are, like, seriously breaking up. It just goes, I can't understand anything that's going on.
Okay, are you calling on a cell phone or a landline? Cell phone or a landline?
I don't even know how to describe what the problem is either. It's not like static.
Can you hear me? Okay, are you there, Tom? From time to time, we have issues, and our guest, Tom Stewart, who is the program manager for the MSU Conqueror Accelerator Program, we seem to have technical difficulties, and we were not able to connect with him to be able to do the show. What we have is we have a great lineup coming up here at 3:30. Right now, I got 10 minutes to fill. Well, let's talk, Jessica.
I have faith in you, Mike.
Yes, all right. And Matt's not here either. I was really worried about this show.
Well, kids, this is why you call from a landline, if possible, because sometimes, you know, cell phones aren't the best.
Okay. They aren't, yes. What we're going to do, well, let me talk a little bit about what's coming up next week. I guess that's the only thing I can do.
Also, are there any events in
Tech
World?
We can talk about all that stuff. Hang on. So next week, this time next week, I'm going to be calling into the show from Israel. What's happening, I'm multitasking, if you're wondering. I'm trying to send a text to the guests to understand.
Yeah, what are you going to Israel for?
Oh, yes, thank you. I was nominated by the Israeli government to attend a cybersecurity conference, and I'm one of two journalists from the Midwest to go there. And it's the 7th annual International Cybersecurity Conference at Tel Aviv University. Yeah. And there's going to be a worldwide group of journalists coming in. And we're going to be meeting some of the top people in Israeli cybersecurity. And Israel has an incredibly strong cybersecurity program. We're going to be meeting the head of that program and as well as attending the conference, which again is at Tel Aviv University, be going on all next week, 7-hour time difference. So I'll be calling the show at about 10 o'clock in the evening from Tel Aviv. And share with you what goes on for the first couple of days of the conference. And then we take a tour of Jerusalem on Thursday. So that'll be fun. A very old city that's, I don't know, how many thousands of years old is Jerusalem? I'm not sure.
I feel like you should Google that before you go.
You think?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So the show and MI Tech News all next week will be devoted to covering the conference.
I guess that means you're a big deal now, huh?
I don't know about that. everybody was kind of surprised, including me. I didn't even apply for it. They just came to me. So.
Wow, interesting.
Yes.
So what are they trying to do? Pretty much have a conference there about cybersecurity and then have you guys cover it or inform them about cybersecurity in America?
Well, anyway, it's cybersecurity in all over the world.
Oh, okay.
It's journalists coming in from around the world. They're going to be hearing what's going on with the Israeli cybersecurity community, all the things they have going on. There's a lot of really interesting Israeli cybersecurity companies, and a lot of them will be on display. On Wednesday, we're going to Israel's equivalent of Silicon Valley, which is south of Jerusalem, and so that we'll get a chance to really eyeball all of these new companies on Thursday. Part of what we'll be doing in Jerusalem is visiting some Israeli venture capital companies, and then we'll get a 5-hour tour afterwards. What the heck? We're in Jerusalem. We might as well see it, right?
Yeah, it'd be a waste if you didn't.
Since I'm flying 6,000 miles to get there. Actually, that's just the leg from New York to Israel is 6,000 miles, and it's another 1,000 miles from Detroit to Newark. So long days are ahead on a small airplane. Well, not too small, I hope. But
well, enjoy yourself. That'll be nice.
The beauty of it is it's totally unexpected. I mean, they came to me and checked me out, and I wasn't sure what it was all about, and then finally they told me. So I'm very excited. And I'm under orders from everybody to bring back lots of souvenirs and take lots of pictures, so I'll do my best.
Yes, please do, so I can stalk your Facebook and look at all of them.
Yes. So lots of good stuff there. Next week, Matt's going to be running the show. He's out today doing some stuff with Lawrence Tech, because that's who pays his bills whatever he gets paid every week, every month, or whatever it is. So he's working for the man today rather than in here. But next week he will be running the show. We'll have some interesting guests in. Keith Brophy will be coming in once again from the Michigan Small Business Development Center. We'll have some folks in from the Workforce Intelligence Network talking about what's going on with some reports that they just came out talking about technology jobs, and which, of course, as we just talked about in the first segment, very hard to get these people for technology openings because there's just not enough people that are skilled in order to fill all those jobs. And then Matt's bringing in a guest from LTU as well, one of the professors who will be talking about what's happening at Lawrence Tech. Then we're going into our summer program. July and August is going to be a little lighter. We're going to take July 3rd off because that's the 4th of July weekend, and I'll be all jet lagged because I don't get back till July 1st. And after a 19-hour trip coming back from Israel, I think I'm going to take Monday off on July 3rd. What do you think, Jess?
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd have a problem with that. So, I'm looking at my cell phone. We were trying to sort out what was happening with our previous guest, and we're not sure exactly, but we think maybe he called in on his mobile phone. And we always seem to have issues with that. We encourage people to use their landlines or Skype lines so that we don't have those issues. But, again, our apologies to Tom and to the folks up in Lansing. We'll get them back on the show later after we sort out whatever happened here. Coming up at 3:30 will be Justin Coffey, the Red Level Microsoft Solutions Manager. He's going to be talking about both the upside and downside of what we call anywhere access. That should be interesting. He's going to be looking at Skype for Business, Exchange Online, Office 365, OneDrive for Business, and some of these other various ways that any device can communicate anywhere all the time. I mean, we're really moving into the cloud-based world, aren't we? Do we have somebody on the phone? I'm reading the sign
Sorry.
Language.
Okay, I was going to say let's go ahead and wrap up because your next caller is calling in.
Okay. Well, so this was an interesting segment. I hope you enjoyed it, but they'll get better. Trust me on this. It's just one of those days. Yeah. I'll tell you about my car, but I won't. So, all right. So this is Mike Brennan. You've been listening to a rambling M-Squared TechCast segment on the Podcast Detroit Network. It's Mike Brennan, and we're in the, third segment, I guess, of an interesting show today. This is the If Anything Can Go Wrong show, but we're solving the problems. So we have Justin Coffey with Red Level Microsoft Solutions Manager, and he's going to be explaining the upside and downside of anywhere access. Is that right, Justin?
Yeah, so what we're dealing with a lot of our customers lately and just people in the industry is with the cloud and mobility means we can work from anywhere. And there's clearly some good things and some bad things about that. Good being, hey, I have the flexibility to work wherever. And especially over the summer when we're traveling, going into northern Michigan, going on a trip somewhere, sometimes you just need to get that one document done or check that email real quick on the go. But sometimes on the same side, you don't want to be able to work from anywhere. So it's the pro and con to it.
Okay. Let's talk about some of these points that you have here. We're talking about OneDrive for Business, I'm not familiar with that at all. So why don't you explain it?
Yeah, so when it comes to just being kind of that modern worker and having the ability to work from anywhere, when you look at Microsoft's cloud solutions and what they have available, one of the top products that we see used by a lot of our customers is OneDrive for Business. And if you're not familiar with OneDrive for Business, you can think of it as Microsoft's version of Box.com or Dropbox.com or Google Drive. With just those cloud repositories to be able to store and edit documents internally with external people like customers, vendors, and so on. And it just gives you that anywhere access because these tools, especially OneDrive for Business, it's all integrated now. So with OneDrive, I can be on my iPhone and have access to all my files or I can be on my laptop and have them synced directly to my desktop and have that kind of familiar experience. So it's been super powerful for a lot of customers, having their files be all up to date, regardless of where they are and regardless of what device they're on.
Okay. And is that a Microsoft product, did you say?
It is, yeah. So it's included in Office 365, which a lot of customers that we work with have, and I think a lot of businesses have either the consumer or the business version. The consumer version uses just OneDrive, and then for business, it adds for business. But they're very similar products.
Okay, and then there's also Skype for business. What's the pros and cons on that?
Yeah, so Skype's a really interesting one. Skype is, we all know the Skype brand. It's something like they have 700 million monthly users or something huge. It's in the hundreds of millions. But what a lot of, especially businesses, don't know is there's a business version that is slightly different, same user interface, very, very similar user interface. But the difference is it was designed for business productivity. So we still have the things that Skype has, instant messaging, voice calling, video calling. But with the business version, we have the ability to schedule formal or ad hoc meetings. And in those meetings, we can share our desktop. And I think that's one of the biggest things that our customers get value out of is having the ability to share their screen out with the customer, especially in IT when you're showing someone how to do something or trying to diagnose an issue or reproduce something. Having the ability to share screens either on my end or on the other person's end, it's super powerful. And then you can do additional things like have polling questions, have a Q&A, have a virtual whiteboard. It's really good stuff. And with the newest version that Microsoft's released, you can now do PSTN calling or PSTN conferencing. So think of traditional phone calls, transfer on hold capabilities, and even the ability to have actual dial-in conferencing. So it's just easier for somebody to have that full kind of cloud or that full PBX phone system all in the cloud managed by Microsoft for single to low double digits. It's extremely affordable.
All right. And then we talk about Exchange Online.
Yeah. So Exchange has been something that I think a lot of businesses out there have started to move to over the last couple of years, whether they had an Exchange server on their own servers or in Microsoft's small business server package. Exchange Online is just the Microsoft's email product in the cloud within Office 365. So with Exchange, you get a 50 gig mailbox, which is a lot of email and a lot of attachments, but you get your synchronized email, your synchronized calendar, your synchronized contacts, and synchronized tasks on whatever device you want, whether it's a Windows device, whether it's a Mac device, iOS, Android, it really doesn't matter. And, you know, assuming you don't even have a device, maybe you're on a public computer, you can go and have the same rich experience directly through the web browser. And it's, you know, talking to a lot of customers out there, it's shocking how many people still use POP3 or even IMAP. Those were kind of the cheap, really, really cheap, included in web hosting plans kind of form of email. And while email still gets delivered, it's not synchronized. Even with IMAP, that only synchronizes email and not calendar or contacts. And I think we're all busy people running around. Having a consistent calendar and a consistent set of contacts on whatever device you have, or, you know, adding a contact on your laptop and having it seamlessly sync to your cell phone, it just makes life so much easier, and it's one less thing to have to worry about. So it's been extremely helpful for a lot of customers.
Okay, then you also have on your list Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection.
Yeah, so this is a new one, and I remember on on your show a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about WannaCry and kind of the big impact that had and how Windows 10 doing a lot to help against that, since ultimately WannaCry affected 98% of Windows 7 PCs, barely any Windows XP, barely any Windows 10. But there's still threats out there that affect Windows 10 and, you know, frankly, all the operating systems. And malware is malware. And sometimes it's not even malware. It's just social engineering hacks through, like, phishing attempts. So with Advanced Threat Protection, you get some really, really cool features. And the two big ones are called Safe Links and Safe Attachments. Safe Links is basically where anytime a link is emailed to you in the body or the attachment, Microsoft basically scrambles the link to run through their servers first. And when you do that, it looks for any malicious activity. Does it try to run a script? Does it try to do anything the computer or the web browser would assume is malicious and warn you before it lets you go there? So in like a phishing attack, it looks like a legitimate website.
Right.
Maybe the big one right now is like Delta or like DocuSign. Have you seen any of those emails where it's like, hey, check this document?
Yeah, absolutely. But then if I'm not expecting that document, I do not click on that.
That's smart, but a lot of people, you know, work fast and, you know, aren't paying attention. I'm just trying to get through the daily barrage of emails just in the day-to-day. So what this does is it runs it through Microsoft servers, sees if anything malicious happens, and then if it does say, hey, this is not genuine, this doesn't look good, or it tried to do something it shouldn't have, it'll pop up a big red stop sign that says, hey, this isn't safe, you shouldn't proceed. And it shows you the website it was trying to take you to. And usually, you know, in the case of DocuSign, you'll see a legitimate email, it'll just take you to DocuSign.com. But in the malware, usually it redirects to, you know, the most random names ever, either something that looks similar to DocuSign or something that has nothing to do with DocuSign. And they're just trying to steal your identity, ultimately your username and password, so they can see what kind of information they can get. Or in the worst cases, credit card information, bank information, stuff like that. So that first one protects against that. The second one, safe attachments, similar in nature, but basically it actually runs that file in a virtual Windows environment in Microsoft's data center pretty fast on the fly. It usually happens within the SLA Microsoft has, or service level agreement on doing that, is about 20 minutes from when the email is received. Usually it does it instantaneous, but it'll actually run that file in a virtualized Windows environment and see if it does anything that it really shouldn't and if it's malicious. So basically, these two products, one looks at the website itself. Is it trying to take you somewhere that doesn't look good, where it's not actually running a virus or a piece of malware on your computer, but it's trying to take you somewhere that's unsafe? The second one, called Safe Attachments, actually runs the file in a detonation chamber, is kind of the phrase they actually use to call it, and they monitor what it does. And if it does everything okay, it passes it through. If it doesn't, it'll flag it and put a placeholder where it was. And when you open it, it'll say, this file was unsafe because of X, Y, Z, and list the reasons. So those are super powerful security tools just to kind of defend yourself from, and your employees, ultimately, if you're a business owner or manager, from kind of those modern day threats that your antivirus software just won't pick up.
So this exploding chamber or whatever, are we talking nanoseconds to sort this out, or how long does it take?
So depending on how many files Microsoft's processing, sometimes it's instantaneous. As soon as you receive the email, it's already scanned it and ran it through that detonation chamber. Because it's still a new feature, Microsoft has a service level agreement of 20 minutes. So you'll have a placeholder that says, hey, the attachment that was sent to you, it's still being scanned. You know, here's why it's important that it happens. You know, basically, we appreciate your patience. In my experience, it's usually within a couple of minutes if there's a delay. So it's not that bad, considering if it is a virus, you know, you're going to lose a lot more than a couple minutes of waiting. It could take hours or days and cost you a bunch of money to fix those problems.
Yeah, boy, I've done that before. In the old days when I didn't wasn't clued into all this, I lost my computer for like a day and a half to get the, you know, mess out of it. So 20 minutes,
exactly.
Yeah, 20 minutes, you can live with that, right?
And that's on the slow side. That's what Microsoft promises it'll be within their SLAs. Again, in real-world experience, it's either available right away within a couple seconds or usually on the bad side within a couple minutes. It's, you know, go grab a cup of coffee if it's an important document, come back, and you should be good to go.
Well, then you can look at all your other email, right? That is safe to look at. Just that one's being diagnosed, and, you know, as long as people understand, there's a certain educational component here. You have to tell your employees that if this is happening, this is why it's happening and why you should leave it alone until the work is done, right?
Exactly. And, you know, kind of going back to the root of the conversation around what does this anywhere access mean? Again, these are all the good things. The good things is that you have access to your files. You can run, you know, your business. And a lot of cases, I know some employees are handcuffed to an office for one reason or another, and some industries more so. You can't have a nurse do her job when she's up north. But for some jobs, if you're in sales and you need to update a quote for a customer last minute, you can go into OneDrive, you know, edit that file, share it back to your customer, and you're good to go. But with kind of that ease of doing business, there's security risks. And things like an Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection provide some of those things where, you know, you're not necessarily accessing things in a secured corporate environment on your safe corporate desktop. You might be using a corporate laptop or even your own laptop. And these tools just help protect against basically hackers just trying to either steal something from you or just cause some chaos on your machine.
Justin Coffey, Red Level Microsoft Solutions Manager. How can people find out more?
Yeah, I definitely recommend you visit our website at redlevelnetworks.com, and that's with an S at the end. We have a lot of good blogs that we already have posted and we're adding a lot of new content specifically around what it means to be a modern worker and how to enable your team to use these kind of technologies to, A, give you that flexibility, but also do it in a secure way. Our website's redlevelnetworks.com.
Okay, again, that's Justin Coffey, Red Level Microsoft Solutions Manager. This is Mike Brennan. You've been listening to M Squared TechCast on the Podcast Detroit Network. It's Mike Brennan, and we're doing our fourth segment on M Squared TechCast on the Podcast Detroit Network. And we have Kyle Richards, an energy advocate for the Small Business Association of Michigan. Well, Kyle, why don't we start off? I'm familiar with the program. I know it's just been announced. I looked at Rob Fowler's video last week when that came out. But I'm sure a lot of people don't have any idea what this program is all about. So why don't we start off with that? Just explain what's happening.
Yeah, the SBAM Energy Solutions Program is basically a simple way for business owners to connect with their utility company, whether it's for billing questions, outage alerts, or energy efficiency, or even renewable energies. We just like to be able to connect them to the appropriate people and get the help they need.
Okay. So what are your goals for this new offering? Why don't you explain it?
Like I said, basically we just want to connect our members with the correct people at the utilities. A lot of folks don't know that these programs exist, and through the utilities, a lot of these programs are free. Or even grants and other things like that that are available through the federal government, the state government, you know, helping them fill out paperwork or find contractors or find financing if that's something that they're looking for. But in the end, we want to help our small business members reduce their energy costs and save money and increase their bottom lines.
Okay. And how can someone participate? And is it limited to just SBAM members, or is it open to anyone?
It's open to anybody who would like to participate. Most of these offerings that we're helping people connect with are free through their utility anyway. Just here at SBAM, we're willing to give them a little bit more of a in-depth look at it, or help them navigate this this hard and unfamiliar territory and get with the right people. But to participate is pretty easy. You can just go to our website, which is sbam.org/energy, or give us a call at 1-800-362-5461.
Okay, why don't we dive into what services that you provide as an energy advocate? And this is with DTE and consumers, right? You're working with them, is that right?
Yeah, we're working with both consumers and DTE. However, you do not have to be a consumers or DTE customer to participate. You can be a customer of any utility throughout the state of Michigan to participate or to be able to participate. But what we can do is, we can provide an energy audit for your business to let you know what types of equipment you have in there and if there are any options to improve and if there's any programs to help pay for that cost. In addition to that, we can do a rate analysis. Rate analysis just takes a look at the rate that you're paying your utility to make sure you're on the right rate, because your utility doesn't know if your business has grown or if your business has gotten smaller or if you're running one shift or two shifts. It really, really helps just to learn, what your rate is and what other options you might have. Other things that we can help you with are outage alerts. If there's an outage and it's a weekend and your business is closed on the weekend and you have things that need to stay cold in your refrigerators, it'd be nice to know if you can get those alerts and so you can head to your business and make sure your product is safe. Also finding contractors if you want to do an energy efficiency project. Other financing options, whether it's through Michigan Saves or PACE or other avenues and things like that. Also help you find suppliers for purchasing equipment if you need to. And then, filling out the paperwork and other things like that to help you get this process done, because most business owners, they wear many hats throughout the day.
Ain't that the truth?
You own a retail store, you're turning the sign from open to close, you're sweeping the floors, you're ringing the register, you're stocking the shelves, and you're counting the money at the end of the day. So, to add the energy hat is just something that we'd like to wear for our members.
Okay. How long has this been in the works? How long have you been in the background developing this with DTE and consumers?
This process has been kind of started last year, I'd say September or about October of last year. And it was simply put, we were at an outreach event, and Rob Fowler, our president, he always asked the question, what keeps you up at night? And one person who was not an SBAM member stood up and said, I am a contractor, and I can provide you a service that'll save you money on your energy bills, but nobody believes me. And so from then on, the talks between DT and consumers started to come about. And then we kind of did a soft launch in April. And then last Thursday at our annual meeting, we kind of kicked it off. So what
that soft launch, what exactly happened? What did you do? What kind of results did you get?
We did a soft launch, and we used our leadership council members, so members that are pretty involved within the program or within the organization, and we just did some outreach. We started making some phone calls and sent out a few emails to stir up some interest, and we made probably, 100 to 150 phone calls, and we got, 15 to 30 folks who responded, and we kind of took it from there, and we gave them some insight into some of the programs that were available. We had good response as far as people liked that we were able to offer them, these programs that they wouldn't normally know about.
Okay, but what did you find out when you were doing your study? This beta test? What were you discovering with your folks? Were they, that they could save a lot of money or energy if they did certain things? That's what I was driving at. Did you get a chance to dig deep into that?
We certainly did. We took a look at one particular person's HVAC equipment and found, they had potentially savings for, up to 40% on their heating and cooling costs just by replacing their equipment that was, you know, 25 years old and most likely not going to last another 3 to 5 years. So replacing it was inevitable, but replacing it now versus later, they could pay for that equipment through energy savings.
Wow, well, that's pretty spectacular. That's probably what it is a lot of people have legacy energy systems or eaters, as it were. They have equipment that's really old. They haven't upgraded. They're not ENERGY STAR rated. And then comes along, and they can find out how big the savings can be, and I imagine it's pretty startling for them, right?
Yeah, and especially with some of the easier items that you would find in just about any sort of business throughout the state, in lighting. You look at your fluorescent lighting, and you can change that to LED lighting fairly quickly, and usually those projects pay for themselves in under 2 years.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. I changed all my bulbs in my house to LED. A little on the expensive side, but I guess they'll last forever, right?
Yeah. An average LED bulb will last somewhere between 20 and 50,000 hours. And in a typical home, that's roughly 23 years to where your typical incandescent light bulb will last about 1,200 hours, which is around 1 year.
Hmm. I didn't realize that they burn out quite that quickly. All right.
You don't really notice it at home because the lights aren't on very often. But in a business that's open 8 to 12 hours a day, you get a few months out of them.
All right. So now moving forward, clearly you announced this at your annual meeting on the 15th, right? Wasn't that when it was, 15th? And then Rob has his video out, but how are you going to really reach out to your, 25 or so thousand members? You're going to reach out through what, the e-newsletters, or what are you going to do?
Yeah, we've done e-newsletters, social media, emailing through Consumers and DTE. We have other avenues as far as billboards and other things like that. So the programs are widely advertised, and hopefully the interest comes in. We've already seen quite a few incoming inquiries based on from Thursday's release, but mostly through email and social media to get the word out.
Okay. And so anything else going on along these lines? Now that you've started this, are you beginning to see areas that you want to expand into or go beyond what you're already doing? Or do you already have a lot on your plate, as it were, and you're happy, where you're starting off?
Yeah, I'm certainly happy with what we've gotten so far. It looks like we have a lot of folks who are interested in participating. The trouble is finding more contractors to help us implement these projects once they come to fruition. And reaching out to our member contractors has been challenging because they're busy, just like every other small business owner on earth. So that's probably our biggest challenge is connecting the folks who want to do projects with contractors who are available to do them.
And would you reach out beyond SBAM member contractors? Would you, if you have to get more of them out there so they can inspect these businesses?
Absolutely. And we've done that so far already. Consumers Energy and DTE Energy have a large database of what they call trade allies. And we've contacted several of them to help us connect with other members who are looking to have projects completed.
Okay. So any idea how many, do you need like hundreds or thousands of contractors? Do you have any way to quantify that?
I don't know if any number is too small. I mean, the more contractors we could have available, the better. just because it gives the members who are looking to have work done the ability to have more quotes, more competitive rates, and things like that. You know, any number, I think, would be fine. The more, the merrier.
Okay. And what's the turnaround time? If a business contacts you and says, gee, I need an energy audit, what are we looking at? How long does that take to get scheduled, I mean?
It could take anywhere between 3 to 10 business days, I would say. It's pretty quick at the moment. I'm anticipating a higher influx of inquiries in the future. But I would say it's within 2 weeks is a good time frame.
Okay. And let's see. Let's give them the contact addresses again. Give them that website address, your phone number. It's just so people, if they're interested, they can find out more.
Absolutely. Our website is sbam.org/energy. And the phone number to call is 1-800-362-5461.
Okay, that's Kyle Richards, energy advocate for the Small Business Association of Michigan. They've just launched a new energy audit program, I guess is the way we could describe it. Is that right, Kyle?
Energy Solutions Program, it's a red carpet concierge approach to anyone, any business energy needs.
Okay. And it's available not only to SBAM members, but also to other small businesses. And if you just reach out to Kyle and his associates there at SBAM in Lansing, they'll get some folks out to your premises and inspect your business and hopefully save you some money on energy costs. That's always a great thing, right, Kyle?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, this is Mike Brennan. I just want to say I'm going to be out of the office next week. I'm going to be in Israel, but I'll be calling in for my segment, my own segment, on the hopefully on the M Squared TechCast, and we're on proudly a member of the Podcast Detroit Network. And thanks for listening today.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.